Secure, secure, secure. Calling all radio amateurs and shortwave listeners. This is GB2RS, the news broadcasting service of the Radio Society of Great Britain. It comes to you from G4NGH in Nottingham. You can find the text of the bulletin on the RSGB's own website. Good morning. It's Sunday, the 13th of December 2015. This is GB2RS News. The main news headlines: Tim Peake launch coverage, Raynet active in flooding, keep legal on 5 megahertz. On the 15th of December at 1100 hours UTC, British European Space Agency astronaut Tim Peake will be launched on his mission to the International Space Station. It will be televised on BBC One and streamed live on bbc.co.uk so that everyone can have the chance to watch this historic event. During his stay on the ISS, he plans to make contact with selected schools within the UK via the ARIS programme, supported by the RSGB, and the first of these is programmed for the first week of the new year. Regular updates will be available at www.rsgb.org. Raynet groups in the north of England and Scotland were active during last week's flooding incidents. In Lancashire, Central Lancs Group were called out on Saturday at 10:35 a.m. and the other two groups put on standby. Ribble Valley Raynet having already been called out. Operators were on the ground and sent to attend control, the CCTV centre, the Environment Agency Incident Room and Clitheroe Control. Raynet was stood down at 8 p.m. In Scotland, Lothian's Raynet were placed on standby on Saturday at 3:30 p.m. Two Lothian 4x4 response vehicles were at Hoyk and Newcastleton. The group were finally stood down at 8:25 a.m. on Sunday. Northumberland Raynet was placed on standby at 9 p.m. on Saturday for possible deployment to the Haydon Bridge area of Northumberland. They were stood down at 7:10 a.m. on Sunday morning. Cumbria Raynet was called out at 8 a.m. on Monday, but deployment was difficult as most roads were already completely flooded. Patterdale suffered a loss of communications. The group was stood down at 4 p.m. when communications began to be restored. The RSGB Amateur Radio Observation Service has noted several examples of British JT65 and JT9 mode transmissions straying outside the UK allocated band slots. It's understood that software commonly used by UK licensees for the production of signals in both modes uses default 5 MHz band preset frequencies of 5.357 MHz for JT65 or 5.359 MHz for JT9. After applying the audio offset to the AFSK signal in JT65 mode, using these presets will in the majority of cases cause the transmissions to fall outside of the upper band edge of the UK allocation of 5.354 MHz to 5.358 MHz. In the case of JT9, the default of 5.359 MHz is used. If the default is used, then all transmissions will be outside of the UK allocations. Users of these modes are requested to check that their transmissions fall within the allocated spectrum. During December, groups from schools, university and local clubs will activate G15 YOTA and its regional variations. Many of the operators will be experiencing amateur radio for the first time, so if you hear the station, please give them a call. On Wednesday, the Priory Academy LSST School Amateur Radio Society will put the call sign on the air. They'll be followed on Thursday by Stirling and District ARS. Friday and Saturday sees Silcott School Amateur Radio Club on the air, and on Sunday the 20th, Worksop Amateur Radio Society will be giving young people the chance to get on the air. The next Bath Buildathon is to be held on Saturday the 9th of January 2016. The aim of the event is to encourage newcomers to have a go at home brewing radio equipment under the watchful eye of some experienced radio constructors. The kit chosen for the 2016 Bath Buildathon is the Acom 2 software-defined radio receiver from Kanga UK, which comes ready to go out on 40 metres, but it can be configured to work on another band after the event. The Buildathon is planned to run from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. All soldering and test equipment will be made available on the day. The cost of the day will be £30 to include the cost of the kit, room hire, use of tools, tea, coffee, biscuits and so on. You just need to bring yourself and a packed lunch. Due to the generosity of the Trowbridge and District ARC, there are two free places for youngsters that would like to build the kit. For further details, please contact Steve Hartley, G0FUW, by email to g0fuw@tiscali.co.uk. The RSGB Training and Education Committee invites expressions of interest from clubs who wish to host a Train the Trainers event in 2016. This fun one-day Saturday course is aimed especially at course tutors who are not already professional teachers. The RSGB asked the host club to provide a suitable venue and to provide tea and coffee for delegates during the day. The Society provides the course instructors and teaching material. If your club is interested in hosting an event in 2016, please email Paul G4DCV via paul@g4dcv.co.uk. 5 years ago, the RSGB undertook a comprehensive online survey of amateur radio in the UK. The data was used in the development of a vision and strategy for the Society. A new survey was launched in September, and all UK radio amateurs are invited to complete the online questionnaire. The survey will close at the end of the year to allow the data to be analysed. Add your views via tinyurl.com/RSGB-survey. Over the Christmas New Year period, there'll be GB2RS news readings on the 27th of December and on the 10th of January. There'll be no news reading on the 3rd of January, as the RSGB headquarters is closed. We'd like to take this opportunity once again to thank all those who read the news in whatever format for their tireless dedication to their fellow amateurs. Now, for details on rallies and events for the coming week, there are no more rallies in 2015 in the diary. The first rally of the new year is the Red Rose Winter Rally on the 17th of January. If you have any rally or event information you'd like to appear in future editions of GB2RS, in Radcom and on the RSGB website, please email details to radcom@rsgb.org.uk. Now for special event news, ANZAC centenary commemorations end with VI4 ANZAC on the air until the 20th of December, commemorating the work of the Royal Australian Naval Bridging Train. A QSL card will be available. Now for DX News, compiled from the 425 DX News and other sources, Magnus SM6WET is going to the South Cook Islands using the call sign E51WET. He'll be on Rarotonga Island, OCO13, from the 14th to the 17th of December. From the 17th of December to the 4th of January, he'll be in Aitutaki Atoll, which is OCO83. He'll activate all bands from 160 to 6 metres, as circumstances allow, on SSB, CW, RTTY and JT65HF. Information is on qrz.com. Good Lord, I've got an email. Steve, G0UIH of Vortex Antenna, will be travelling back to Australia and the Pacific during December 2015 and January 2016. He'll be operating holiday style from Lord Howe Island, OCO04, as VK2IAY-9 between the 16th and 23rd of December. Operation will be SSB only, concentrating on 10, 15, 17 and 20 metres, although other bands are possible. William K2HVN will be active from the Caribbean island of St. Bartholomew, which is NA146, until the 17th of December. He'll be using Fox Japan stroke call sign and will be on 40 metres to 10 metres CW and SSB QSL home call. Contest news now. The ARRL 10 metre contest runs until 23:59 UTC today, the 13th, ending the 48-hour run. Using CW and phone only on the 28 megs band, the exchange of signal report and serial number. Additionally, US stations will send their state code, Canadian stations province code. The UK 6-metre group winter marathon contest runs from the beginning of December until the end of January. Information and rules can be found in the UK SMG website. Any station can enter and you don't have to be a member of the group. On Tuesday, the 1.3 gigs UK activity contest runs from 20:00 to 22:30 UTC. Using all nodes on the band, the exchange's signal reports serial number and locator. Now for the radio propagation report compiled by G0KYA, G4BAO and G3YLA. This has been another week with an elevated solar wind stream from coronal holes. This had a negative effect on the geomagnetic field, which reached storm levels at times again with visible aurora at higher latitudes. The solar wind often had a south-facing magnetic BZ component, which meant it coupled more easily with the Earth's magnetic field. Solar flux index stayed around the 110 mark, but the geomagnetic KP index hit 4, and even 5 at times, reflecting the storm conditions. The Chiltern ionosonde at Harwell showed a critical frequency of 7.8 megs at noon on Wednesday, indicating a maximum usable frequency of around 26 megs over a 3,000-kilometre path. This also showed that 40 metres was usable for inter-G contacts, at least around the late morning and early afternoon periods. 15 metres, or 21 megs, remains the highest HF band to support reliable long-distance communications. Next week should see the solar flux index in the range of 100 to 120. The KP index may indicate continued unsettled geomagnetic conditions, hitting 4 at times. The end of the week is likely to be more settled. December remains a great month to get on the lower bands, including 160 metres, 80 and 40, where DX may be found during the long nights. Now for the VHF and up propagation, this week expect neutral tropospheric conditions at first, but we are starting to see some signs of a ridge of high pressure developing close to the southeast of England during the week. This might give slight help for tropo paths into the continent and across the North Sea to southern Scandinavia. Unfortunately, this is not supported in all models, as some keep low pressure over the country throughout the week. In these changeable patterns, the forecast models often diverge after a few days, and since this is still being written early, it's perhaps not surprising that there are variations beyond the following midweek. Meteor activity is on the agenda again, with a fairly broad peak of the Geminid shower centred on Monday night, December the 14th. Look at the band plan and operating techniques, or simply listen in and watch the ON4KST chat to hear what goes on during these events. Try 6, 4 and 2 metres. Moon declination starts to increase again this week, so moon windows will strengthen, and after yesterday's apogee, losses will start to decrease. From the UK, the moon may be up from lunchtime to early evening, getting progressively later as the week goes on. That's it from the propagation team for this week, and that's all from me also. Until next week. This file was originally used for reporting local news, but I don't do that anymore. You can find local news on the RSGB's own website. I do reserve this space, though, possibly for use for extra files as and when needed.